From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons. Rebel forces continue their assault on oil-rich eastern Libya. NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro reports they've captured the key oil port, Ras Lanuf.
Certainly, I've spoken to several members of the rebel army who say that Ras Lanuf fell pretty quickly. They made a counteroffensive here yesterday, and within a few hours, they had battled their way past the airport, past the refinery, and into the heart of the town and driven back pro-Qaddafi forces. It's a serious victory for them. In the space of a few days, they've managed to take two oil refining towns that have been taken over by Qaddafi forces. And we are seeing that Qaddafi forces have sort of fled into the desert and back to their home base of Sirte, we believe.
Lourdes Garcia-Navarro reporting. What is unclear at this point is the status of a key battleground, Zawiya, about 30 miles from the capital. The city had been at the center of a bloody conflict between the rebels and pro-Qaddafi forces. A key British government minister is warning the uprisings in the Arab world could push the price of oil to $250 a barrel. As Larry Miller reports from London, that's thought to be a worst-case scenario.
Britain's International Development Secretary says a doubling of oil prices is possible if terrorists use the instability in Libya and elsewhere in the Middle East to attack oil tankers and reserves. Alan Duncan, a former oil trader, told the London Times this would result in a serious spike in gas prices and shortages. Duncan also warned Saudi Arabia may not be able to turn on the taps if regional problems grow. One UK economist says at $200 a barrel, it'll be very difficult to avoid a double-dip recession, while an energy research director says the markets are nervous about the threat of contagion. But if the unrest is limited to Libya, the markets can cope. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
In Connecticut, state and federal law enforcement authorities believe they've finally caught the man known as the East Coast Rapist. NPR's Wade Goodwin reports the suspect has been picked up in New Haven.
It is a case that has bedeviled law enforcement authorities for years. The rapes began in 1997. A man would approach women outdoors with a knife, handgun, or screwdriver. Over the years, the rapist attacked more than 16 women in Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland, and Rhode Island. Authorities posted sketches of the man on highway billboards in an effort to generate leads. Finally, law enforcement officials in Virginia got a tip, which led them to 39-year-old Aaron Thomas in New Haven. He was followed for several days, and authorities retrieved a discarded cigarette butt, which they say tested positive as a DNA match to the rapist. Wade Goodwin, NPR News.
The two crews on the International Space Station are readying for Monday's undocking. This is NPR News from Washington. The highly sensitive trial of an American contractor who has been jailed in Cuba for the past 15 months is expected to resume today. 61-year-old Alan Gross is facing a 20-year prison sentence. Nick Miroff reports from Havana. He's accused of working for a U.S. government program aimed at regime change.
Alan Gross is back in a Cuban government courtroom, accompanied by his wife, attorneys, and U.S. consular officials. But no foreign journalists are allowed inside. Gross's trial has brought relations between Washington and Havana to a critical juncture. U.S. officials say he brought satellite communication equipment to the island to give better internet access to Cuba's tiny Jewish community. Cubans say Gross is part of a $40 million USAID program to undermine the Castro government. Most Cuba watchers expect Havana will make an example of him, sending a clear message that Cuba won't tolerate U.S. agents working on the island. But they also expect Gross won't serve a full sentence here, since his imprisonment will be a huge obstacle to improved relations. For NPR News, I'm Nick Miroff in Havana.
Italy's leader, Silvio Berlusconi, will apparently defend himself in court on sex crimes. He faces trial next month for allegedly paying for sex with an underage Moroccan teenager. His lawyer says Berlusconi will handle his case as long as he doesn't have to show up more than once a week. He's also defending himself in separate trials involving dealings stemming from his business empire. The NFL and the Players Union are taking a breather from talks over a new collective bargaining agreement. After extending the deadline 24 hours Thursday, yesterday they decided to push it forward another week. No talks are scheduled for the weekend. I'm Nancy Lyons, NPR News in Washington.
Support for